to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Joined this afternoon by both Robert McGinnis and Oliver Askew from Andretti Autosport Indy Lights programs. Let's just dive right into some questions here. We're sitting here Thursday afternoon before the weekend gets started. Robert, this has been probably your strongest road to Indy season so far. What can you attribute that to?
I think it's a variety of things. You know, being with Andretti Autosport doesn't hurt at all. They're such an amazing team. But I think a lot of it, too, is just maturing and getting more experience and being more in control of everything that's happening. I feel really comfortable in the car. I feel really comfortable with the team, and I just feel like I'm able to execute.
Oliver, when I was at the test in Circuit of the Americas, you were a late addition there to the test. And then the deal was announced, I think, a couple days later. How did that come about so quickly?
Well, for me, the talks began in November, and it came about so slowly on my side. But from the outside, it was announced on the second day, on the second morning, and that was just good timing. Just happened to be at a test, but. All of the contractual stuff and the business stuff came together around that time, and honestly, I didn't know if I was going to be racing until that week. So I feel very fortunate to have had all the pieces put together in that short span of time, and very happy to have our partners on board this year with Index Invest, Stelrecht, and Andretti Autosport, and all of my supporters have made a massive difference in getting this thing put together.
I'm going to go back and forth here until the last couple questions. You're only about 45 or 50 points back of Oliver right now. There's still a lot of racing left to go. Are you confident that you can close the gap and make it a battle for the championship?
I think so. I mean, the freedom definitely hurt us finishing in eighth. But, I think I've been good at the road course this year. I have a lot of confidence. We've had some good results. And I think this is going to be a big weekend. This is going to be a telling weekend because it's right in the middle of the year. And we'll see kind of who's quick and who isn't at a pretty standard road course. So, I hope so. I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to go out there and send it. But we'll see what we can do.
So, on that same note of confidence, you won a ridiculous Freedom 100. I think that was the only time I've heard a media center shout the entire time the last I don't know what was that, starting with your dust up with Toby there, and you've podiumed in all but one race so far. Do you believe you can win the championship?
I think we'll have a good shot. We'll, like you said, we've had a super consistent season so far, and you know, the mindset, even after the freedom, the mindset hasn't changed at all. So, to be honest, I don't really feel like... I mean, there was a big celebration afterwards, for a couple hours, but at this point, I don't really feel like we won the biggest race of the year. So, because it's, we're already focused on the next one. So, we've through my road to Indy career, we've had a lot of success, and, we've shown good speed, and consistency, I think, is consistently being in the front this year, I think, is what's going to pay off. And I have the right people behind me, I have the right teammates behind me, and in this type of championship and this type of racing where it's so close, you never really know what's going to happen. It's just it's all about reacting and having the right mindset, and taking your past experience and what I've learned the past couple of years in the road to Indy and applying it this year. I think it'll be really close and a really tough end of the championship, and I'm ready for it, that's for sure.
So I'm going to go slightly off my list here. You guys are battling for a scholarship to, get some funding for IndyCar. Does it make it difficult as teammates to want to work together? Because obviously, you won all the points. How do you balance that need for, I need to get all the points, but at the same time, I've got a teammate, I need to work with my teammates as much as possible?
I'd say that, you know, in the office, we work together and we, you know, help each other as much as we can and share all the data we can so that we can both move together and be faster. You know, if we could be 1, 2, 3 in every single race, that would be ideal, right? Once you're on the track, sure, we're teammates. We might give each other a little bit more room, but we're still out there to race for ourselves and to win. I don't know if you agree with that.
But. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think to answer your question, I think it just comes down to like a friendship and a mutual respect for each other. You know, we're representing Andretti Autosport as well, which is, you know, one of the top names in North American open wheel racing and globally as well. I mean, they're mixed into Formula E and V8 supercars now, and you know, there's a big name that we're representing that's on our shirts, and I think both Robert and I know that, Ryan knows that, and in order for us to move forward, like Robert said, we have to you know, respect each other and you know, give each other space on the track when it's needed. And you know, there's going to be days too where, you know, where there has been days already where, you know, we're fighting for that position, and you know, that could be worth 4 or 5 points, and in the end of the championship, that's huge. So but still, you know, we have a great respect for each other, and I think we've grown a friendship as well, which is important. So I think the vibe in the team right now is really good, and I don't really expect that to change.
So I'm going back to Robert here, and this is a fan-submitted question. Favorite track on the schedule this year, and then a track that you guys aren't going to, but maybe you'd like to go to?
I'd say favorite track would have to be Toronto. The street circuit's really fun. I love Toronto. The whole weekend, the environment is great. And then track I wish we were going to would be Watkins Glen. Place is just mega, and I'd love to go around there in a lights car. It looks like a blast. It just looks like everything flows and you're going so fast the whole lap, and it'd be awesome.
I love it. I couldn't disagree with either of those. Speaking of going back to the Freedom 100, obviously everybody knows the ending was insane there. From your point of view, what were those last couple laps like?
Yeah, it was hectic. I felt the pressure for sure, but I think I did a good job of not letting the, you know, excitement get to me, and just to you know, apply what I've learned in the week prior to that last lap and to try to get to the Art of Bricks, you know, before that other car. And to be honest, I've seen the replays, and you know, I've lived it myself, and I just felt like I was in the right place at the right time and had the right opportunity, had the right equipment under me. You know, I saved my tires, and to answer your question, I mean, the last couple laps were just like a blur to me, because I mean, you're so focused on what you're doing and what, you know, what the cars are doing around you. And I don't know if you felt the same, but like the last 7 laps went by so fast, and to be honest, like I wasn't like the last 2 laps, I just happened to be in like in the right place and in the right sequence, especially. I mean, there wasn't anybody, you know, in the last couple laps, we're just going for it, and there wasn't anybody like holding back and trying not to lead the last lap, because I mean, we saw it last year. The race was won by a pass on the back straightaway, I think, or leading out of turn 4, you know, and now it's changed. So it's just it's just a fantastic achievement for myself and for the team, for our supporters, and it's the biggest race of the year, but I think there's still more on the table, and there's a lot more of prizes available this year, so that's what I'm focused on at this point.
Did you know you won when you crossed the line, or was there a moment of, well, I don't know if I beat that guy to the line?
Yeah, I knew. I mean, I was right next to Ryan, and I was more focused on him than where the Yard of Bricks was coming. So I was just hoping to, you know, in the back of my head, I was just hoping that the Yard of Bricks was far enough down the road for me to carry the momentum I had to get past Ryan. And then, I mean, once, like, I saw my car just edge past this tire, and then I looked for the Yard of Bricks, and it came right at that second. So, and then there was just like a big moment of like disbelief, like, did that actually just happen? So,
yeah, I mean, well, like I said, the loudness of the media center was something I've never seen before, which is really cool. Robert, we're at Road America this weekend, 2 races. What's the most challenging aspect of Road America?
I mean, I'd say the most challenging aspect, I'd say it would be just how crucial every corner is, right? It's such a long track, but there's only, you know, 14 turns, and every turn leads pretty much onto a long straight, and there's a combination of fast and slow corners. I'd say it would be the exits out of the corners making every corner really matter, because of how big of a difference every corner really makes around here.
What's that?
I'm sorry, we had some hijinks going on in the background. The most challenging aspect of Road America.
Yeah, I think to touch on what Robert said, it's the most high speed circuit, you know, aside from the speedways, and there's the longest straightaways of the year, you know, three of them. So, like Robert said, exits are huge. Car setup's going to be pretty big, and I think, you know, what I've been doing a lot of homework, and I think Robert has as well, and you know what we've experienced in the past couple years in USF and Pro Mazda, you know, driving around here and making sure you get the best exits and you know, minimum speed counts as well, but it's a combination of the two, and the right you know, the right what's the word?
I think a lot of it too is just, you know, how the track is so long, we get so few laps. So you look back at practice last year, there were guys who got 12 laps in practice. You're only seeing turn one 12 times before you actually go into qualifying, which is, it's big, it's adapting quick, and, you know, making sure your car's set up to what you need really quickly.
You need to have the right sacrifice and the right, the mindset between each corner changes as well. And, you know, luckily the straightaways are so long, you can kind of, you know, plan on, you know, how you're going to drive these next corners. And that's a pretty good point on, you know, how long the lap is. We only get 45 minutes before qualifying, and that 45 minutes around here is way different compared to 45 minutes around St. Pete. So,
yeah, there was a Twitter account, the data analytics guy last year, that compared Road America setups by who was going on straight line speed versus corner speed. I don't remember his name. If anybody out there listening can point me to him again. He had some really cool information on the IndyCar guys on who was good, and, you know, you could tell who was set up for what. I'll wrap it up with two questions for both of you guys, one IndyCar related and one Road to Indy related. So the Indy Lights car count is up to 10 this year, and from my point of view, I think the series and everybody in charge has definitely, you know, done a lot of things to help it, you know, get better and better. Is there anything you think they can, you know, continue to do to keep that car count, you know, getting, you know, to a more ideal number?
Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job. But, you know, for the last couple of years, the car count has dropped since 2016. And that's, you know, we all know that. And I think, you know, Anderson Promotions in the series, IndyCar as well, has been doing a lot. But I think in the end, it comes down to where the series is would go as a driver, and that's to IndyCar. And right now, I think IndyCar is in a good place. It's growing rapidly, I believe, and it's becoming more global. You know, it's people are beginning to notice IndyCar more. You know, our average American, and I think that will, you know, inevitably help Indy Lights as well. And there's a lot of factors that goes into it. I mean, price is obviously massive. You know, to our you know. You know, regular, you know, driver looking at the series, it's extremely hard to approach, you know, with how big or how much it costs to go racing nowadays. But I think this, like, again, I think the series is doing a lot to help that, and you know, the more attention that we get, the easier it will be for us as drivers and agencies to you know, to find the right partners to make it happen, because in the end, without the partners and the backing, we're not drivers. So
yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, the series, us putting ourselves out there and marketing ourselves well. And, you know, we have the NBC Sports Gold broadcast now, which are awesome, and really pushing the series. And I think Indy Lights is getting a lot more attention than it has in the past. And you look at guys like Pato, who won Indy Lights last year, is now Red Bull junior driver, and now, you know, I think people are starting to notice IndyCar is going more global, and I think that'll draw drivers in, even though it's so expensive to go racing these days.
I'll wrap it up with an easy one or a tough one. Who's going to win the IndyCar championship this year?
Andretti driver.
Yeah, no, definitely an Andretti driver. Yeah, one of the four. I think we'll just have to see who it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, either. I mean, Rossi's got the best shot, so.
Rossi's got the best shot. He's the highest up in the championship. But I feel like there's a lot to go. I feel like IndyCar.
Honestly, you know, without any bias at all, I think Rossi is super strong. I think he'll be. It'll be between him and a couple of the drivers at the end of the championship if nobody runs away with it. So, you look at last year. Last year was his breakout year. Aside from winning the Indianapolis 500, so I think he's taken that, and you know, taken what he experienced last year into this, and the team has as well.
He's just strong everywhere. Like it's really impressive to watch. It's like no matter what track, an oval, a road course, like he's just fast everywhere, and it's cool to watch. I've spent a lot of time on the 27 pit stand, listening on the radio, seeing what I can learn, and it's really impressive the way that team is run and the way that he communicates.
Did you enjoy his radio the second half of the Indy 500? Because I know it was pretty intense listening to that. I don't know if you got to listen to that part.
Yeah, I was on the 27 stand for the 500, and it was just terrifying, honestly. Yeah. Like, not even, you know, when they had the fuel problems or whatever, but towards the end of the race, when it was so close, I was, like, losing it in the trailer, so.
Well, guys, thank you very much for some time this afternoon. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the year, and look forward to seeing how you guys do.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.